The following podcast contains true stories of sex, kink, or gender. Now, I know you're a consenting adult, but why don't you put your earbuds in and take care of the people around you, okay? Let's go.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from dearly departed sex-positive pioneer Elena Gabosh.
So I'm at my first Zoom sex party, because 2020, and I meet this guy, and we're talking, and I am feeling connected to him, connected enough that I tell him about my secret fantasy. My secret fantasy, which is to have somebody who punishes me for the terrible puns I'm compelled to make all of the time. This person would be called the Pungeon Master, and he would take me to the Pungeon. He laughs. He likes this idea. He likes it enough that he asks my permission to show me his flogger. And of course I say yes. It's beautiful. It has a handcrafted wooden handle that's rather phallic. It's exciting. We continue talking. The connection is not that great, electronically, not emotionally. And he asks if he can show me something else. And I think it's another flogger, and I'm excited, and I say, yes, please, show me. And he goes away, and he's gone for a long time, and I hear him rummaging through things, and I'm excited. What will this one look like? Did he make this one too? Does the handle look just as much like a penis? And he comes back, and he shows me a pair of socks, and I'm so confused. And I look closer, and he brings them closer to his camera, and they have circles all over them, and in the circles is a face of a man, and I look closely, and the man is Edgar Allan Poe, and they're polka dot socks. I feel connected and happy, and he's shown me exactly the perfect thing to turn me on even more.
How's your week going? It's the last week of the year. We're almost done. In fact, by the time you listen to it, it'll be the first week of 2021. But if you were with me last week, I told you that I have a New Year's ritual that I celebrate every year that I possibly can. If you weren't with us last week, we're going to have a short review, and then I will tell you a story about my adventure. So, in review, I like to celebrate New Year's with a ritual whenever possible, and that is I like to go to a botanica. And I like to have candles dressed, or blessed, however you prefer to say it. A botanica is a religious goods store. Am I religious? Not at all. But the name botanica means plant store. So it's a place that you can get medicinal herbs and tinctures and all of that stuff to dress your candles so that you can have them blessed to do special things. Each prayer candle is imbued with special qualities. You can read it right on the outside of the glass. And then you go up to the hoodoo practitioner. I asked her what the name of her job was. And they will add special herbs and great things. And they add a bunch of oils and cover it in that special dressing is part of what makes it powerful. I'm not a woo person, but I just love this. It helps me set my intention at the beginning of every year. This week, I've been doing Best Year Yet, which is about figuring out what you want your 2021 to look like. And it's been really good. It's been a lot of cleansing away of 2020 and figuring out what I want to bring into my life. So as you heard last week, my friend Lil P called me and said, I found a new Botanica. I had introduced P to my Botanica ritual years before, and it was something that we did together. It was our chance to see each other, even though we live in different cities, and stand there and think about which candles we wanted and what we wanted to invite in and talk about it afterwards. And it was just a bonding thing that we love to do together. That cute little story you just heard about the polka dots? By the way, this year we had a special guest. My friend Mosa, who just told you that polka dot story, came along with us to the Botanica. We all met in Vallejo, which is about 40 miles or so outside of San Francisco. And we showed up at the candle shop ready. I'd sent emails to both of them. Here's what I'm looking up. I learned these new things about the ritual of carving things in and the herbs. And I'm very curious about how all of this works. So I sent it to them. Mosa had never been to a place like this. P had been several times with me. But I did some research because I wanted to do it the best I possibly could because 2020. We show up, we meet on the sidewalk, and you know how this has been a year where everything's different? Well, we got to find out by the time we all showed up, stood on the sidewalk more than 6 feet apart from each other in a triangle, and decided to go inside. Here's the thing that was really different. We had done a ton of research. We'd all driven at least 30 miles to come to this place to get together. This was going to be our chance to have face-to-face time. P had shown up with at least two masks on. There might have even been an N95 underneath the two fabric masks. And she was inside maybe 10 minutes before she stepped outside. Now, she is sensitive to fragrances, and there was a scent in the shop because some of the candles were perfumed, so I thought that might be what it is. I wandered around the store. Mosa and I looked at candles and I kind of explained to her what I knew. We waited. There were people in there, but they had, you know, no more than six inside at a time. It had been marked on the door and I'd called. And eventually I went outside and I found P. She was scrolling madly on her phone and she's like, I can't be in there. I just can't be in there. And she was going to look for another Botanica close to home. It turns out that one near her had just opened and she had to leave. Like, we'd planned this, but she left. I went back inside to talk to Mosa, and right then the counter opened up, and the woman who ran the shop, Susanna, who was this Latina woman who clearly knew her shit. You could just tell. I'd been eavesdropping on her conversation. I really wanted Susanna to bless my candles. And so she said, I'm available. Do you want me? And I asked her questions. Okay, I'm looking for one to bring in lots of luck. I want one to help me with my career. I've just started story coaching. I'm thinking about the future. I'd like to build my confidence. I'd like to invite success in 2021. I'd like to keep my home safe. So we talked about health and I picked two candles. My original plan, I usually do at least four, but I picked two. Because I wanted to ask her questions. I asked her what her job description was. Hoodoo practitioner. I said, what does that mean? She says, I petition the deities for you so that you can have the outcome that you want. As she added each of the herbs and tinctures and oils to the top of this candle, she said, I want you to write something important in the top of this candle. Something you really want. And then I want you to write your name on top of that so that you are on top and you have power over it. I love that kind of logic. She added herbs. And as she did, she told me the name. And I will tell you the truth. I didn't catch many of the names. One thing I loved is that she said, by the way, we add something a little special for you that no other shop does. And I'm like, what's that? She goes, we had a little tobacco on top. Tobacco? Why do you add tobacco? Well, why is a god going to give you what you want unless you give him something he wants? You've got to give the deity a bribe. And a great deity bribe is a little tobacco. So we sprinkle a little extra so you make sure you get what you want. I thought that was pretty cool. I never thought about bribing the gods before. I thought about asking the gods, but I never thought about bribing deities. And she took a long time and added lots of oils and grated things. And we talked the whole time. I felt guilty because Lil P had driven to another store and might be waiting on me, and I didn't know. But I was really into this, and I really love to start my new year out this way. And then Mosa got her candles dressed. She worked with somebody else. She really wanted to invite in fluidity, so she had candles that related to the sea. And we came out with two candles each and figured we better hit the road because P might be waiting for us a long time. She might have even left, and we wouldn't get to have this opportunity to do it together. It was kind of expensive at this candle shop, but I really liked it. I loved the vibe of the place. I loved talking to the hoodoo practitioner. I loved being able to ask questions. I told her I want to get rid of negativity. She told me to buy this special piece of rainbow hematite. It was just interesting. It's not my religion, but I feel like I need a little extra luck stepping into this. I'm amazed I've made it as far as I have. So as I enter a new year, I really want to set my intentions and do everything just right. So we drive 30 miles to go to one on Telegraph Avenue in Oakland. There is a line out the door, and Lil P's already in the line. And eventually I get parked. It's hard to park around there. And we wait on the sidewalk together, more than 6 feet apart, in a little triangle, keeping our distance. When they let us inside, only two at a time, Mosa had to stay outside. We get inside and the place is pretty cleaned out. They have no health candles, because COVID. They have no love candles. They're totally picked over. And the woman who waits on me asked me what I want. I said, well, I'd like to have a candle that would make sure my dog lasts through 2021. He's getting older. Her answer was something like, well, let's see, dog candle. Well, dogs are brown. Why don't we just get you a plain brown candle? I mean, I had just hung out with Susanna, the hoodoo practitioner, and I was like, well, my dog's not brown. He's a St. Bernard. He's mostly white. And she's like, oh, well, animals, that's brown. I mean, it was complete night and day between the experience I just had. I ended up getting a bunch of candles because I didn't have what I wanted. Lil P got a generic candle, and I'm like, no, this is a specialized. Candles to me are like special, make something happen. So I don't want to go generic. So I got one for success. Hang on, I'm going to read it to you. It's crazy. I got one that cost extra money. And it said, triple strength, Saint Anthony, Saint Martha, and John the Destroyer. Dear Saint Anthony, everywhere and every way I turn, I attract nothing but problems from the moment I wake up until the minute I go to sleep. All that fills my waking hours is trouble. Please remove these mountains of despair from the path of my life and destroy all my problems. This whole candle sounds like this. It's the biggest downer candle I've ever seen. And it comes pre-dressed. Well, they didn't bless it for me. They just, some factory or some people, sisters in New Orleans, I think is who it comes from, had just done it at the factory. And I didn't want that. So I end up getting like five candles because none of them are right and nothing I want is actually there. And the woman who had told me to get the brown candle, I tell her, I need you to go ahead and dress the candles. And she starts and she pulls out this kit and somebody else. It's very crowded. I mean, it's busy. It's not crowded. And there's someone else who's trying to share the same kit. So she keeps running out of the things that she wanted. But honestly, the top of this candle has like little glitter butterflies in it. And she goes, butterflies equal freedom. And then she puts little gold stars and she goes, gold stars, because you're going to be successful. And I'm like, what? She puts some oils on top of it. She keeps saying that one's missing. He's got it. I'll just do this instead. I'm like, I will wait. I want you to do the best possible job. Like it's the new year. So please just use the most accurate thing you have. But I'm sorry, glitter butterflies don't feel right to me. It was just different. It was disappointing. It was honestly disappointing. And when we went outside, I thought about P. We sat in her backyard for a little while. And she was very happy with what she had. But I thought about her planning this whole thing out. And I thought about the time and the travel and the research and all of those elements, and she'd only lasted 10 minutes. And she's shown up in two masks. Plus, I think there were more than two masks. And you know what it made me think of? I've always been fascinated by social anxiety and anxiety in general. It started making me think about the new year. It started making me think about when the world opens up again. Right now, we're all in that place where we're like, oh my God, I can't wait to touch. I can't wait. I'm going to fuck everything that moves. I am going to go crazy when the world opens up. Will we? Or will we be like old P? Will we freak out the first time we have to be in a building with other people? Because we've been without it so long. We're going to have to relearn it. And we're going to think we can do it. But when we get in there, we might just run away. I want to think about how we can use storytelling to make that connection possible with each other. I want to figure out, maybe it's the live stream, I'm not sure. But I want to figure out how we can start the process of warming up to connecting in person again. So that we have good experiences when we finally can have them again, when we've had the vaccine, when we can gather in more than three people standing in a triangle on the sidewalk. When that happens, I want us to be able to savor it and enjoy it and walk away feeling the connection instead of disappointment. I'd love to know how you are going to prepare yourself for the new world when it opens back up. And I'd love to hear your ideas. If you have any advice on how I can help people through storytelling to improve their connection, to help reduce their anxiety as we start coming together in person, I'd love to know. Mosa had a great time. She thought it was perfect. For me, it was probably the 10th time I've done it. It was disappointing. P seemed happy. That's the thing about story. We all give it our own meaning. To me, watching somebody be anxious is painful, especially when I've been longing to see their face for so long. I'm going to work on it. I'd love to hear your advice. And thanks for listening to my story.
Dixie, hi, this is Cammie from Alaska. And I just heard your request for voice memos. And I've always wanted to send you a voice memo, but I've never had a story that I felt was worth telling you. But I do want to tell you that during COVID, I moved from New Mexico back to Alaska, and I fell in love with a woman in Nebraska. And we cannot wait for COVID to be over so we can move in together. I am just so grateful, actually, for this time that allowed me to slow down my life enough to reconnect with this woman who is actually my very first girlfriend 20 years ago when I lived in Taos, New Mexico. I feel for everyone who's been having a hard time during COVID. I know that there's lots of stories of struggle, but my story is a happy love story that I can't wait for the happy ending. Thanks for all that you do. I love your program and I love you.
We're all thinking about our health right now, right? Between the state of the world and that New Year's thing, a lot of us are being extra mindful, and we're trying to treat our bodies well, on the outside and on the inside. And when I treat myself well, my mind heads straight to pleasure. And one of my favorite ways to take care of my body is with Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-safe ingredients. What makes Uberlube body safe? It is free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, and petrochemicals. If you've ever had an adverse reaction to lube, it's usually related to water-based lubes because they get absorbed into the bloodstream. Uberlube stays on the surface of your skin and doesn't enter your bloodstream like water-based lube. Thousands of doctors recommend Uberlube for its simple ingredient list, and it's widely used by people with sensitivities to other lubricants. Lube is supposed to enhance touch, not overpower it. Uberlube offers just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensation. It's great for all kinds of play, cleans up easily, and Uberlube offers long-lasting performance when you want it, then it quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. There's no flavor or scent. It's latex compatible, so it's safe and effective to use with condoms too. And right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. If you're going to add to those magic moments, you want to make sure it's done with the highest quality, most body-safe ingredients. And remember, 10% off and free shipping. Just use the code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Oh, and thank you to Uberlube for supporting the Body Storytelling Podcast. Uberlube, it lets you feel what you want to feel.
Hi, Dixie. This is Tanya from Jacksonville. Just wanted to tell you a few good things that have happened to me since the pandemic, because of the pandemic, however you want to look at it. First of all, I have been naked 95% of the time since I started working from home, which was March 18th. So that's been a great big plus for me. I hate wearing clothes. Gotta wear them lately because it started to get chilly, even here in Florida. Yes, it's true. The second thing is that I realized, you know, we bought this house last year, which means we can do anything we want. So in this room I'm in currently, which is my OPD, that's office playroom dungeon, on three walls, I've painted a rainbow with a white octopus kind of cut out of it. It's very beautiful and colorful. I've surrounded myself with art by my friends and people that I love, including our own Nadia Vanilla. I have two prints from her right above my computer monitors. And then lastly, back in May, I got this kick-ass bondage bed. It's got a cage underneath it. It's got points where you can tie somebody up to it. So once all of this is over, I'm going to be having some killer parties, because I've also got a St. Andrew's cross and a massage table and implements of all shapes and sizes, whips and floggers and paddles and hot wax. It's just going to be a great big party. Thank you, Dixie, for all that you do. Love you.
Well, I bet you're curious about your storyteller. I'm going to try and get through this. I might cry. I might not, though. So let's find out together what happens. I want to tell you about this storyteller. Elena Gabosh was a community leader and powerhouse who was active in the sex-positive movement practically from its inception. She produced educational and social events for the sex-positive community starting in 1990. She served as the executive director of both the Center for Sex-Positive Culture and the Foundation for Sex-Positive Culture, pretty much from its creation. She was the development director for the center. She was a board member for the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. She worked for Seattle Sex Workers Outreach Project, and she was also a relationship coach. She was a frequent speaker on many sexuality-related subjects at colleges and conferences around the U.S., in Canada, and Europe. And her emphasis was on sexuality, relationships, BDSM, and polyamory. She was a frequent guest on local and national radio, on television, and she was kind of a go-to expert on sexuality. She's been in numerous documentaries, and she's been quoted in articles online, and she was even quoted in People magazine once. She was the producer of the Seattle Erotic Art Festival and a commissioner with the Seattle Commission for Sexual Minorities. She will always be a kinky, mixed-raced, cisgendered, sapiosexual, polyamorous switch, and she considered herself extremely blessed as she had a rich and full life. Elena is also the co-author of Sex Positive Now, Everything You Need to Know About Sex Positivity, which was released in late 2019. And somehow, she has another book on the way. I interviewed her in November, and some of you know about that. We had her on the Body Storytelling live stream, and she was sainted by four different orders of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence on our live stream in November. She died 4 days later, on November 25th, 2020. Rest in power, Elena. This storyteller is Elena Gabosch.
I only have one tit left, so it's kind of... So, before I tell my story, I did rise from the dead. Everybody thought I was dead for like 24 hours. So my name now is Jesus, because it only took me one day to rise from the dead. Jesus took three. Women are way more effective than men, sorry. All right, I gotta move around a little bit. So, just so you know, I am dealing with a stupid thing called cancer, so I think I can stand up for 10 minutes. We'll give it a try. So back in the mid-90s, late 90s, I had this amazing girlfriend. Her name was Kivi. She's about 5'6", big, beautiful dark eyes, blonde, short hair. She was a dyke. Which I'm being bisexual. I didn't date too many dykes because most of them were afraid I'd leave them for a man. And I'm like, I'd leave you for a woman too, so whatever, right? But Kivi and I hit it off right off the bat. And we're both kinky, we're both switches. So we had a kind of a switchy relationship. She was kind of butch and kind of femme. She was a futch. And she was so hot. And we'd been playing for about 3-4 months, so we're still fairly new into our relationship. And one day, I get this, I forgot to tell you. And she was a recovering Catholic. This is an important part of the story. So one day I get this email, and it's addressed to Sister Immaculata Concepcion. And I look, I'm like, what the fuck, right? And I realize it's from Kivi. And this email is really from Kivi. It's from this woman who is the mother of a Catholic schoolgirl named Elizabeth. And she lays out this story about, oh, Mother Superior, it's so good to talk to you finally after all these years. We used to be in school together. And I need you to help me with my daughter. She is such a bad Catholic. We're having so many problems. She's not going to school like she's supposed to. She's smoking cigarettes. She's wearing too much makeup. She's not a good Catholic girl. And I know how powerful you are, Mother. Can you take my daughter and give her the schooling that she needs to teach her to be a good Catholic girl? And I'm like, oh, this is kind of hot. Okay, so... So I write back saying, I'd be glad to. What would you like me to see me do? And then she writes back with another long email, which I'm not going to go into too many details because it'll take a long time. And we actually spent 5-6 emails negotiating, all as me as Sister Immaculata Concepcion and she as Elizabeth's mother. So in the last email I said, I'm going to pick her up at 6 o'clock in the evening. I want her to be sitting out front on the front porch, dressed in appropriate clothing. I want her to be ready for me. I want her to have a bag packed, fed, and hydrated, and be ready for me to pick her up. So I'm like, oh shit, now what do I do? And so I go down to the local costume design place, and I find this fabulous habit. The whole hat, the whole thing. And while I'm there, I'm like, I need some accoutrements. And I find this incredible, incredible cross. It's a big wooden cross that I can hang off my waist, right? You know, I mean, it was like, I was like the total Mother Superior, right? And at that time, I had this really funky little gray station wagon. So the day that we're gonna get together, I'm driving this little old gray station wagon, dressed like a nun. And I swear to God, as I'm driving to pick her up, people are like, go in, it's okay, you can go forward, right? I'm like, damn, I gotta wear this habit more often. This is kind of cool, right? So I pull up to where I'm supposed to pick her up. And she's sitting on the porch, and she's giving me this stink eye, you know, like, chewing gum, rom, rom, rom. She's wearing a little short, very short, Catholic schoolgirl skirt, a little white frilly blouse. She has way too much makeup on, and she's got an attitude. So I put my head out of the car, and I say, get in the car now. And I point to my passenger side. She marches over, kind of disgusted looking, plops in the car. Now, I'll be honest, we didn't say a word to each other on the way to where we were going because we both would have burst out laughing because it was like so fucking weird, right? So at that time, we had this amazing bed and breakfast owned by two kinky gay men called Gypsy Arms. And if you've never been there, I'm really sorry it's not there anymore because it was this incredible place. Full dungeon in the basement, kinky, wonderful bed and breakfast. And I had reserved it for the whole weekend. So, well, yeah, you know, it's going to take a whole weekend to turn her into a good Catholic girl, right? So, yeah. So we get there, and she's like standing at the top of the stairs, like she doesn't want to go down. So I just grab her by her hand, and I drag her down the stairs, and I push her into the couch. There's a little kind of a kinky living room area. And so she looks at me, and I'm like, you got too much makeup on. And I went into the bathroom, grabbed a really wet washcloth, made it as cold as I could get it, came back, threw it at her, and said, wipe your face off. She goes and proceeds to clean her makeup off. Then she pulls out a cigarette. Smack! I slap her across the face. The cigarette goes flying. I said, you are going to learn right now how to be a good girl, a good Catholic girl. I'm going to bring Jesus to you right now. So I grab her by the hand. I pull her inside to the next room, which has got a sex sling with a mirror at the top. And I say, get in that. She looks at me and I say, get in it now. And she gets up in the sex sling and I cut her panties off of her as I happen to bring a pair of scissors because all mother superiors have scissors, right? And I spread her legs and then I'm like, And I look at the cross sitting to the side of me and I pull out the cross. And I start fucking her with a wooden cross. And I fuck her, and I fuck her, and she cries, and she cries. And then all of a sudden, she's not crying, she's smiling really big, and I look up, and I see this mirror of a nun fucking a schoolgirl with a cross. And I'm like, oh, I am so fucking going to hell. And so I fuck her some more, because if you're going to go, you got to go for a good reason, right? And so we are like having this great time, and I'm slapping her around, and I'm telling her, say thank you, mother, and she's like, no, and I'm like, slap, thank you, mother, and then I fuck her some more, and we have this amazing evening, and we're pretty much done. We come down off the cross. Whoops, that was like, it was kind of like that. We came down off the rack. We're kind of done. And I think we're completely kind of going back to just Kivi and Alina and not Elizabeth, the schoolgirl, and the mother superior. So we get ready to go to bed. It's late by the time we're done. It was really late. And so we crawl into bed together, and we're kind of snuggling, and I think we're going to have some good sex here in a minute. It's going to be really nice. And she turns to me, and she goes, Mother Superior. And I went, what? She goes, when you and Mom were in college together, she goes, did she ever do this to you? And she pulled out a glove, stuck it on her fist, and stuck it in my cunt. And the next 2 hours was me receiving sex from Elizabeth, the schoolgirl. And the mother superior was very, very happy. So thank you so much.
Just like a fucking queen, and you're begging, please. That was Holy by King Princess.
Hey, my name is Emily. I had heard about Body a number of years ago from a friend who posted about it on Facebook, but at the time I was really busy and honestly a little too shy to make myself get out to go in person. But quarantine allowed me to attend the virtual live streams in a way that I could dip my toe in a little easier. But it just immediately became one of my favorite things. It keeps me feeling connected to people in like a really real way, and it helps combat shame to hear people share so vulnerably. The stories are just amazing, and also as someone who's been single for a while, it helps me reconnect with a part of myself that doesn't get to come out very often these days. So I just want to say thank you to Dixie and Marty and the whole Body community, all the storytellers and everyone who makes it what it is. I cannot wait until I can meet you all in person at a live show, and I hope that that happens in 2021. Happy New Year.
Emily, I'm so glad you joined us at a live stream this year. Thank you for doing that. It is intimidating walking into your first live body. You don't know what to expect. Some people live their whole life dreaming of the day that they can walk into that room and be surrounded by hundreds of sex-positive people. And some people are deathly terrified because they don't know what they're walking into. By the way, y'all, it's called storytelling. It's not called body orgy. It's called body storytelling. When the world opens up again, I want you at a live show, but till then, we have the live stream. Our next live stream is going to be on Saturday, January 9th. The lineup is looking terrific. Tickets are on sale. Get yours as soon as you can because it's our chance to come together right now, to keep Body going, and to have an opportunity to be in community with other freaks like you, because you're a freak. You're listening to this podcast. And I want to remind you again that I offer storytelling for self-discovery. If getting on the stage is not your thing just yet, if you're a writer who wants to learn how to be a great speaker, if you're working on a book and you want a great brain to rub up against while you develop it, I have a great brain. So you can find the Calendly calendar in the show notes. Sign up for a discovery call. We can see if it's right for you. I love helping people find and work on their story because we want to hear your story and I can help you make it beautiful.
2020 actually started really good for me. I went abroad for a long period of time, which was the first time I had ever done that, and I suddenly had all of this room to explore my gender and my sexuality that I hadn't had before, especially because I'd been trapped in a monogamous relationship for a long time. It was really wonderful. I got sent home once the coronavirus got really bad, and it was obvious that things were going to start shutting down, and that was pretty horrible for my ability to self-express and my ability to really come into myself, which had felt pretty stunted after that. But I will say I've been able to make a lot of progress even at home. I've come out to my family as non-binary. I've started to be able to express that in public. Even though I don't have the exciting things I had abroad, like a sex club where I was exploring my kink in public, I've still been able to come into it more and talk to others about it online. Now I have a job where I get to listen to awesome kinky podcasts like Body and like Risk while I do work for somebody else. As awful as it is to be taken away from an environment where I was feeling so much more myself than I'd ever been able to before, it's been really nice to come home and know that I've taken all of that with me, and I have so many wonderful queer kinky experiences waiting for me as soon as I'm able to leave my house.
Somehow I made it through 2020. And it's because of my Patreon supporters. Patreon has been the way that I've continued to pay my rent, even though I haven't done a live show since February 22nd of this year. And I want to thank my Patreon supporters. So I've been coming up with great new rewards that you get only if you support us on Patreon. I want to tell you about what's coming up in January. We've got Body Spinner coming up again, which is like a dating and connection game from my friend Eleanor O'Brien. We've got Body Trivia, because it's like dirty trivia, from my friend Michael Noel. These are people who love Body and want to help me show my patrons the love. I'm going to have office hours where we can geek out on storytelling together. And This is the thing people are really excited about. We're going to have a body open mic where you can tell your story with other body fans and would-be storytellers. Just us, together, telling our stories. Doesn't have to be perfect, but you know you want to revisit those moments in your life again. And one of the most fun ways to do it is to tell your story in front of other open-minded people. So if you go to patreon.com/body, support us at the $10 and up level, you're going to get these rewards, and I'm working on brand new stuff all the time. Patreon.com/body. Please become a member, and thanks in advance for your support.
Greetings to everyone out there in body podcast land. I was thinking back on 2020, and I realized that for me, 2020 was about disconnecting and then reconnecting. I was forced to disconnect from my job and my industry, and I disconnected from relationships that have made up the bulk of my work and social life for almost 20 years. And I realized that with a few notable exceptions, I was just fine in letting them all go. I reconnected with my wife and my family and found I wouldn't want to go through a pandemic with anyone else. And I reconnected with myself and my voice instead of the external cacophony that's been running it for so long. 2020 boiled life down to its essential elements, and I reconnected to the things that actually matter to me. So 2021 is about connecting the dots, connecting my soul and my spirit, my passion and my desires, my sexuality, connecting all of that with my living situation, and connecting all of that directly to my wallet. It's time to do the things that I love, the things that I'm passionate about, for the people that I love and I am passionate about. And I guess I have 2020 to thank for that, for making me realize what really mattered, and for giving me some focus. So Happy New Year to all of you. Much love.
Happy New Year!
Well, that is all the time we have, and it's the end of 2020. But before we go, it's time to say thank you. Let's say thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to the inimitable Marty Garcia, who is our live stream technical director and our podcast producer. Thank you to archivist Joe Moore. Thank you to Donal Mooney, who makes those brilliant pre-show videos for our live streams. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to you for telling your friends about this podcast. If you're trying to figure out how to get your friends to listen, just say, I listen to the Body Storytelling Podcast. It's true stories of sex, kink, and gender, and I know that's intimidating, but in 2020, it got best of from Oprah Magazine, from Mashable, from GQ, from Esquire, from Women's Health, from Men's Health. I think we got a best of from the London Times. Is that possible? I don't know. There were a lot of them this year. That kind of mainstream cred makes people a little less scared of what we do here. Really, storytelling is about making you feel less alone in the world. Listening to stories like this make you realize the things we don't talk about, there are other people who like what you like. There are other people who have tried the things you're curious to try. You can hear those stories here. And it's a podcast, so nobody knows because you got your earbuds in. I also want to say thanks to the people who sent anecdotes in to be part of this episode. Thank you to Mosa. Thank you to Cammie. Thank you to Tanya. Thank you to Emily. And thank you to Aiden. We really loved getting to hear from you. I'm hoping that our listeners will send in more anecdotes or stories, or at least let us hear your voice. I love hearing your story. And if you send me something, we can put it on the podcast and other people can hear your story too. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour. This has been episode 157 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Remember, we're on hiatus for the next 2 weeks. We'll see you in 2021. Take care, y'all.